Good morning, church. This church is multilingual, so maybe I need to say Joseon to some of you here and your family and those from mainland China. Ni jiao, is that right? Good morning. I don't speak that. But you know, this church in many ways reminds me of the very first church in Jerusalem. You know, it was a multicultural church, the Greek speaking, the Hebrew speaking, you know. So churches like that long time ago were a bit like us. Isn't that fascinating? My wife Frances and I love to be here, love to be a part of you. I know quite a few of you. Maybe some of you don't know us, but we have been your Baptist missionaries working among Chinese overseas for 42 years. We started out in South China, working in Hong Kong and Macau. They're with the people who speak Guangdonghua. And that's about the only thing I can speak is bad Guangdonghua. Yeah, I had a missionary friend who was a medical doctor. We had a medical clinic there in Macau. And after about a year of studying Cantonese, which is the first thing you have to do to be a missionary there, he said, you know, medical school was easy compared to Cantonese. So we're glad to be here with you today. You know, I want to challenge all of us today to go deeper in our faith. You know, sometimes in a relationship with Jesus and with others, we can get a bit stale. Everything kind of becomes routine, and we sort of lose the excitement and the devotion that we had in the beginning. The honeymoon may be over, and so even our relationship with the Lord gets to be routine and stale. And you know, He is always there to call us and challenge us to go deeper in our faith and in our commitment to Him. That's what we want to all of us look at today. And by the way, just before I came in here, I talked to William Gaw, and he gave me some things to just mention. If you want to commit further, the church would like all of us to fill out this form of ministry, of different areas of ministry that you can serve the Lord. And so these are out in the front in a table there. Now, the purple news bulletin right here says they should be ready by the 9th of September. But actually, they want them by next Sunday, the 2nd of September. So if you will, please, there's also a form for nominating leaders in the church. So this is one way that you can get involved in commitment in a very practical way. The minute you walk out of here, you can go to that table and sign up there. We want to look at this passage of Scripture again. It's a very common one, and I know I'm speaking to many of you who were raised in the church and Sunday school, and you've heard this story so many times. But you know, it's got so many wonderful details and spiritual jewels of value are in here. It's in Luke chapter 5, and if you have your Bibles, you can follow in your Bibles. We want to look at some of the really magnificent things that are here in this passage. Now, let's start right here. Let me read it again. It says that one day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. Now, this lake of Gennesaret is known often by another name, the name of the Sea of Galilee. So we're up in Galilee. This is a fairly large lake of fresh water in northern Israel. It's about 16 miles long and 6 miles wide. So quite a great area to fish. All around there was a fertile valleys and fertile hills around. A beautiful place. Jesus spent a long time of ministry in the Galilee area around the Sea of Galilee. He was from the little town of Nazareth, which is not right on the edge of the lake. It was a bit further back. But in the story, we're going to see Peter, James, and John. And then Peter has a brother, as you know, Andrew. They were from there, this little village of Capernaum in the very north of the edge of the Lake Galilee. Now, Capernaum is interesting because just the name Capernaum means Kafir Nahum, and it's the village of Nahum, Nahum, the prophet in the Old Testament. Most scholars believe he was from this little village here where Peter And James and John were partners in what? A fishing enterprise. So they were fishermen. We're going to start off this story, and we're going to see that Jesus is in his, most scholars believe, his second year of ministry. He spent about 3 years total of ministry, and the second year was what scholars would call his year of popularity. He was very popular. People began to talk about him all over the country, in Jerusalem, in all the towns, in his hometown of Nazareth. People began to question, wow, what is he? Who is he? And crowds came. And we see in the very first part of this passage right here, in verse 1, it says the people were crowding around him. They wanted to see, they wanted to hear, they wanted to know more about this man that could teach with authority, is what the Bible said, that astounded them. He did not teach by saying, this scholar used to say so, and that scholar said this. He said, I tell you so. And this was amazing to them. This man teaches with authority. And so here is Jesus with the crowds around him on the Lake Galilee there, the shore of the lake. And he sees that the crowd is a bit, you know, too much, kind of maybe standing back and pushing on him, listening, getting close. Some of the people were there because they wanted to be healed, wanted to maybe touch him or ask for healing, and brought their friends. There were many purposes of why people came crowding around Jesus. So Jesus asked if he could get in Simon Peter's boat. And we know it's early morning. Early in the morning, people were already up and about in those villages in the past. So Jesus got in the boat, he pulled out a bit, and he was able to teach the crowds that were there. And while he was doing that, what was Simon Peter and his fishing partners, what were they doing? If you look in verse 2, what were they doing? They were finishing up from their work at night. They were washing the nets. They were probably cleaning some seaweed that got stuck in there and some little fish that they didn't need or want. And they were busy finishing their work because, you know, the Bible says they had been fishing all night long without success. All night long without success. Imagine how tired they were and hungry. Get this work done and then let's go home. But you know, just about that time, Jesus finishes teaching the people, and then he turns and directs his words to Simon Peter. And he said to Simon, I want you to get in the boat and go back out. And here's what he says. He finished speaking and he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Jesus is inviting Peter for a new experience that he doesn't know anything about yet. And Jesus is saying those words to him. Peter, go out. Throw out your nets another time. Now, let's think about Peter and his reaction to this. How long had he been fishing? All night long. You know, those muscles were quite tired, weren't they? He was hungry, ready to get home for some breakfast. Just finished. And here is this man, this Jesus from Nazareth. He's not a fisherman. What does he know about fishing? Who's the expert, by the way? Peter's the expert. I'm the fisherman. He had fished at night because, of course, there's more to catch at night. It's easier to catch at night, so they say. I'm not a fisherman. But a lot of guys go out with their little light, you know, and little boats because it's better to catch at night. And that's what he had been doing. So here's the expert fisherman, and he's receiving a request, a command from this carpenter's son from Nazareth. What does he know about fishing? Who is the expert here? And you know, many times when we feel that Jesus is challenging us to commit to go deeper and further in our relationship with him, we begin to think of all these reasons why we can't and why it's too hard, and the expert is us. You know, what does Jesus really know about my life and details and my commitments. I've got this and I'm busy here and there. And Jesus is telling me to do this? Oh, no, that can't be. But here is Peter hearing those words. And I'm sure with those big old tired muscles, his feet had been standing in the water all night. They were tired. He just about finished his work with the nets, ready to go home. Jesus says, go back out and try one more time. And here's what Simon Peter says to Jesus, verse 5. Master, we have worked all night and haven't caught anything. We've worked all this time. There ain't no fish to catch for some reason out there today, especially in the morning. But then Peter says something amazing. But because you, Jesus, because you say so, I will let down the nets. Peter is saying, I don't really understand what he's asking, because by the way, I'm the expert. But because you, Jesus, tell me to do this, I will. Now, you know, I want to invite you with me to read those words, if they're up there. If not, we can just say them. Now, listen first. But because you say so, I will. Can you say that with me? But because you say so, I will. Let's say it again. But because you say so, I will. And you know, we have to honestly ask ourselves, is that the truth? Jesus, because you say so, I will. I'll do something what I thought was too hard or too difficult or too embarrassing, too tiring, too expensive. But because you say so, I will. I will forgive that person. I will love that person. I will go and I will ask for forgiveness. That sometimes is so difficult. It's so hard. And you know, I can share a story from my personal life. I said that my wife and I had been missionaries in South China, in Hong Kong and Macau. But after 12 years, I worked there 2 years in a Baptist Chinese school, teaching there, and then 10 years with my family. I have a son who was born there in Hong Kong. And you know, we had been there 10 years as a family, and for me it had been 12 years. We were feeling really comfortable. We had lots of friends, a lot of the students that I had taught, we had graduated, and they were our friends in our church. My daughter was baptized in the Chinese church in Macau, and both of our children could speak Cantonese beautifully, just perfect native Cantonese. Their friends were all Chinese from their school, and we were feeling quite comfortable. But you know, one day I received a letter of invitation from the Baptist mission of the country of France. They sent a letter to us and saying, by the way, here in France, there are hundreds of and thousands of Chinese immigrants that live in the two Chinatowns of Paris. Would you come and help do ministry among the Chinese in Paris and plant a Chinese church in Paris? And I looked at that letter and I thought, are you kidding? That's what I thought, you know. Me leave this nice, comfortable place where we have all these friends, go to Paris, France, and they got to learn French. And then the letter said, when you bring your kids, they have to go to local schools. Now, local school down the block means French school. And our kids could not even say bonjour at that time. Couldn't say a word, but they could say Joe Sun really well. And I thought, really, this is impossible. You know, I was the expert on what I could do. I can't do that ministry in France, you know, go there and all those people that we don't know, the big city. And I looked at that letter, I read it, and I typed back very quickly a response, you know, no thank you. And I took that letter and I went to the post office. And I put that letter in the mailbox and let it go. And that letter just slid down out of sight and out of reach. And the minute I did that, the Lord convicted me. You didn't even pray about that. You didn't seek my will. You just thought you knew that this wasn't for you. And I felt so convicted. Went home and we prayed, and it wasn't long before we knew that that was God's will. To pick up, pack up, tell our kids that we're moving to a new and strange city. And that's what God wants. And you know, we did. We arrived in Paris. It took us about 9 months to get a visa, a full-time living there visa as a missionary. We spent 6 of those months here in Houston trying to wait and get a visa at the French consulate here. We finally got there to France in February. Now, you know, sometimes you see those movies about beautiful, glamorous, romantic Paris. Well, they're never filmed in February, I can tell you. It is cold and gray and rainy and drippy. The apartments are small. Our apartment even had a leak in it. The heat, the radiators didn't work very well. You had to go down and kind of crank up the radiator to get it a bit warmer. We lived on the 3rd floor, no elevator. You had to walk up all the stairs with your groceries and all that. And you know, after about a month or two there, I went up on the roof and of our apartment there and looked out. And you know, through the fog, you could barely see the Eiffel Tower sticking up way over there. And I thought, what have I done? You know, I brought my family here, and we had to study French, and our kids, my daughter was 11, and my son was 8, and they came home crying. They said, I don't understand anything, you know. I don't know what's going on in the class. But it wasn't long that I attended a missionary meeting of missionaries in different language schools in the city that were studying French for ministry there in the city. And in our group of about 30 people there, there was a Chinese couple sitting over there. And I went, wow, what's your name? Who are you? And they were John and Patty Hong, sent by Kowloon City Baptist Church in Hong Kong to be missionaries to Chinese in Paris. And I said, wow, the Lord has called us. We're Southern Baptists, and we formed a partnership from the very beginning. And he said, look, the church has got to be bilingual, because just like here with the ABCs, those are the, I guess, French-born Chinese, FBCs over there, they prefer French in worship and in Sunday school and Bible study. So Pastor John Hong, the missionary, said, look, you concentrate on French and working with the youth, and I will work with the adults, and we'll make that a bilingual church from the very beginning. And so we did. We formed a very happy partnership from the beginning. After we finished our language studies, our French language studies, we didn't have a place. You know, a big city like Paris, very expensive. We lived out in the suburban Chinatown. And we thought, we looked around, and finally there was a little pizza restaurant that was closed on Sunday, and we borrowed the premises and rented, actually, from an English couple who owned it. And we started our Paris, East Paris Chinese Baptist Church in a Pizza Hut. That's what it was. Francis and I would get there. We had to have church service in the afternoon, not the morning, because all the men in the church, except one or two, but all the men were cooks in restaurants. And they would work in the restaurants Saturday night. And, you know, French like to eat very late. And they stay eating and talking till 1 in the morning. And these poor cooks, they don't get home till 1 or 2 in the morning. And we weren't going to ask them to, all right, get to church by 9 the next morning. So we started our service at 2 and 3 in the afternoon. So Francis and I and John and Patty, we'd get there, and it was a restaurant with these tables all laid out and chairs all around, and we had to push the tables back and put the chairs out like a little church, and I had to take down the beer sign behind the pulpit and put it over here in the corner. Yeah, that didn't go very well, did it? So we made that into a little church, and do you know, we got word out to the Chinese community, come, your children will be well-received, and did you know in that little pizza restaurant, in 6 months, it was standing room only. If you came late, you had to stand up in the back. The Lord had a plan. He loved those people, and he knew better. And who am I to say that I was the expert? I should have stayed in Asia when God wanted me to work with overseas Chinese in a difficult area there. It was a wonderful and happy experience. And you know, for Peter, we know the story, the ending of Peter, that it was a happy ending for him. But you know, let's go back to our passage here and let's see what happens. So Peter is saying, because you said so, I will. And he did. He threw those nets with those expert aim. He threw them out there again and pulled them in. And whoa, this time they're so full, I can hardly drag them in. Two boats so full, and it's like they're going to fall down. Then when Peter saw this, look at verse 8. You see verse 8 there? Yeah. All right. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' feet and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." Let's go back and look at that. When Simon Peter saw this, what does that mean, saw this? What is the this? You know, I don't think it's just when he saw the fish. It's when he saw with the eyes of his heart and his soul that he understood who is Jesus. Because what was his reaction when he understood that I am standing before the Son of God? He fell at his feet. He fell down and said, look at this, what he says. I am a sinful man. Do you know when we are in God's presence, when we understand, when we see with the eyes of our heart of what a holy, holy, holy God he is, we look at ourselves and we know that we are nothing, that we are sinful people. And if you've never had that experience in God's prayer and in God's presence with prayer and singing and worship and realized who we are compared to him, the King of Kings, Jesus, that man standing there in the boat that day, was present at creation. He was there. He is the Lord of Lords, King of Kings. And when he knew that, he fell and said, I am such a sinner. You know who this passage reminds me of? There's a passage quite similar in Isaiah. The great prophet Isaiah, about 600 years before Christ, at a time of difficulty in the life of Israel, he was in Jerusalem, and God called him into ministry. And one day he saw a vision. He saw and understood who God is. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. And when he saw that, here's what Isaiah said. Sounds like Peter. He says, woe is me, I cried. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. For I have seen El Shaddai. Woe is me. I am a sinful man. And when we see Jesus for who he really is and understand what he did for us and how much he loves you, how deeply he loves you and calls you, leave the shallowness of your faith and relationship and go out deeper. Come to me. Come to me and I will make you fishers of men. And I will bring peace into your life. You know, it's time to stop doing things on our own power and strength. And let him guide us, those difficult things. Now, I don't know each one of you. I wish I did. But I know that each one of you is loved and called by God to serve. You have a purpose. You have an important purpose from God. And he wants you to fulfill that purpose. He is calling you to leave the shallowness, the edge, the comfort zone, and move deeper in your faith. And you know what Jesus said to him? Here are some beautiful words that Jesus said to him in verse 10. Three words. Don't be afraid. He knew that Peter was going to be moving to something completely new. You know, Jesus was calling for a career change for Simon Peter. He may not be calling a career change for you. He did for me when I was young, to leave my job I had to go to be a missionary. But you know, Jesus is telling all of us to leave the status quo. Don't be satisfied with the status quo spiritually in your life. But look to him to guide you and show you where you can go deeper in your commitment. Do not be afraid. Buyao pa. Don't be afraid. Jesus loves you and has wonderful things for you. Leave the shallowness of where we are now and move deeper and say to him, Lord, because you say so, I will. Will you say that with me as we close? Let's say it one more time. Because you say so, I will. One more time. Because you say so, I will. And I want you today in your prayer sometime when you're speaking with the Lord to tell him, Lord, because you say so, I will. Amen.